keep it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso. Dope, so no overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
How's everybody doing tonight? This is the brand new evening of the Anti-Media Radio with your host, S.M. Gibson, and my co-host, Dedrick Young.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
There's been a lot going on in the news lately. We're going to try to get to everything. We're going to try to take some callers later on in the evening as well. This is our very first night on the new radio show, so bear with us. You know, we may screw it up, but that'll be all right.
Bear with us. We're going to take our time, and y'all just ride on with us, and we're going to share this great information and this great news that we got for you guys.
I've been kind of out of the loop the last couple of days. I've spent the past 2 days trying to get the president of a major university fired. So
and that's been real awesome, man. I know y'all seen the hashtag trending, free UAB football. So we've been working on that, trying to get Watts out of there.
Yeah, the president of the university, it's all money like with everything else. But we got some other news here. Dedrick just put in the very first BTM, Bitcoin ATM, in our entire state here in Alabama. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we got the first BTM here in town. It's the first bi-directional BTM from BitAccess. So basically you can come now to the Crestwood Tavern over in Crestwood off 5500 Crestwood Boulevard, and you can come buy some Bitcoins or you can come sell your Bitcoins. So it's the first one in the state, and we're trying to put them in more locations so that it can be more accessible to the public and we can, like, have more access to this new emerging technology.
All right. Now, won't you tell me about why should I go to the ATM as opposed to I can just get online and do it, other than just getting the cash right then and there? What's the advantages for me?
Well, the advantages of going to this ATM is that you get it in seconds instead of going to a place like Coinbase where you may have to wait a few days before you receive your Bitcoins. And it's also a certain limit that you can acquire certain times dealing with Coinbase. But there's a new company that's out there called TrueCoin. And these guys allow you to pay with your credit cards online and instantly receive Bitcoins. I think you can like receive 500, it's the max, in a day or something like that. With like Coinbase, I think you can receive 1,000 in a week. And the advantages of coming to these BTMs that, hey, you can just get as much as you want unless you're willing to pay the fees, which is marked up 5%.
Right.
And then if you want to sell them, it's like, hey, 5% less on the going rate. So, it's all different types of advantages and disadvantages, you know, but we're just trying to give people like choices, you know, more options to like, you know, acquire this.
Sounds good. One other thing we've got going on the news here, when we're on the heels of everything that's gone on in Ferguson, it looks like later in this week, I'm sure everybody remembers a story about Eric Garner. He was a guy that was supposedly selling loose cigarettes in the city of New York, and so the cops come up on him and start harassing him, and he starts swearing that he's not doing it. The next thing you know, he's in a chokehold and he's dead. And so this week, we're basically going to have Darren Wilson Part 2, because we're going to see if the NYPD officer who murdered him is going to be indicted.
And I'm basically thinking that hopefully that these guys do not commit political suicide by not indicting this guy. So, like I've been telling XM today, I'm like, hey, this has to happen.
Well, I think, you know, with Darren Wilson, it had to happen too, but, you know, nobody actually saw what happened. The whole world has speculated. It's believed this side or the next side. And I know what I think, and you know, but whatever. But this is different. This is a man that it was on tape. You saw the man get, you know, put down.
Yes, put down, chokehold down.
Right, and you know that there was no punch. You know that there was no violence on his behalf.
Yeah, you're right.
So if they don't indict this officer, and what's even crazier about it is the coroner ruled his death a homicide.
Yes.
And then also, I pulled this up earlier, is that the NYPD, the New York City Police Department, issued in 1993, I'm reading right now from the New York Times, please forgive me for that, ordered a ban with the use of chokeholds, the restraining maneuver that cuts off the flow of blood and oxygen to the brain, and has been blamed in the death of suspects here and around the nation. This was published November the 24th, 1993. So, what the cop did was illegal even for a cop by their own internal standard.
But, and then it was caught on video.
Well, you know, so was Rodney King.
Well, we got to go back now. Rodney King was caught on video, but we didn't have...
So was the guy here in Birmingham that they beat up.
Well, yeah, he only got $1,000, remember that?
His lawyers got rich, though.
Yeah, well, I guess that's how it go, you know?
Well, so, you know, that transition is, do you think that if they don't indict this cop, do you think the city of New York goes up in flames like Ferguson?
Man, if they don't indict, I think that instead of seeing 177 protests in one night, in America, I think we will see triple that.
But see, here's a problem we're having with it too, because this is getting nowhere near the publicity on the CNNs and the Fox News and the MSNBCs. And you know why it's not? Is because it hasn't been made into this grand race issue.
Yes.
And they can't jump on it because of that, and they don't see the ratings on it because of that. If they don't see, to me, if they can find an issue to divide people, they're going to jump on it. This is a case that the cop just killed a guy, period.
In broad daylight.
In broad daylight.
And remember now, this guy was over 300 pounds.
Yeah. Again. And he's on the ground screaming, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe.
They have to indict him, SM.
Well, you know, I hope they do, but, you know, we've been here before.
Well, shit.
Now, what do you...
Hold on, we've been here before, not just... You know, 20, 40, 50 years ago. But shit,
we've been
here this year.
This week.
This
so. We've been here this week. So, but what I'm saying is do you think people will get out and protest the same way they did over the Michael Brown case because of the media hasn't been on top of this?
Well, we're on it.
We are.
And we have listeners. And they're going to share it with their friends. And we're going to keep the word going. You know, so, hey, that's why we're here. We're here to share the news and talk about it and start this conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody needs to know what's really going on. Another case that has actually gotten some publicity is Tamir Rice and the 12-year-old kid that was shot in Cleveland for standing there holding a BB gun. And the officer says he yelled at him three times. When you first heard the story, before the video was released, they made it sound like there was kind of a confrontation, and this kid was just kind of like hanging out and just kind of being like a thug or something like that. And then you see the video, and it's just a 12-year-old kid standing there.
Standing there. I watched the video over and over and over. And what I seen was a cop get out and start shooting.
Yeah, I mean, he was barely out of the car. He was barely...
Did he open the door and start shooting from the door?
Well, he claims that it was three times. He warned him three times. So, I'm not a mathematician, so watching the video, you know, I'm not going to sit there and figure out the exact time that it happened, but I know that a car sped up, a door opened, and there was a 12-year-old boy on the ground.
No, they said 20-year-old boy.
Well, just because they
said... Have you seen a 12-year-old that looked like a 20-year-old?
Hey, when Shaquille O'Neal was 13, he was 6'8". So, if that was the case, I'd have a little bit more sympathy for this.
Well, didn't you see the kid pacing up and down the road?
Yeah, he looked like a 12-year-old.
12-year-old.
Yeah.
So, and not just that, the caller that called the call,
he told him!
She told him, yes.
Yeah, it said, I think it's a fake gun. I think it's a fake
gun.
Not
just once, she said it twice.
Yeah. But did the dispatcher relay that to anybody?
No.
No, who needs to know that?
Yeah, cops don't need to know it because they've been killing.
Right.
For no reason.
Since the beginning of time.
Well.
Since the beginning of time.
So what are we going to do about it?
Well, I think that has already started. I think the protest around the country over the past week is a lot of I think it's culminated to this point that, you know, the media will have you believe that there's people on the streets and shutting down interstates in Seattle and San Diego, and they want you to believe it's because of Michael Brown, but I don't believe that.
But one thing that we did not see on these major outlets were the protesters that were standing in front of all the buildings, all the businesses, and saying, hey, you guys are not going to come in here and burn these places down. You're not going to loot. Did we see any of that?
Well, you saw it if you watched the live streams, and you followed with Twitter, you saw that.
And that is why we have to get more followers to start looking at these live streamers, you know, because everyone looking at
CNN. I think we're already there, and I think that's a lot of the problems people are having, because they are seeing the other side of the argument for the first time ever because of the internet and because of technology. And I think you grow up with this mentality of you're supposed to trust what the television tells you, and everybody's realizing that everything's
it's not Sesame Street.
No, it's not. I mean, geez. I grew up loving Bill Cosby, but they ruined him now.
So you're right, Bill Cosby.
Everything. But see, that could go two ways. Is it a very, very successful black man that they just want to tear down and ruin his reputation? And that could be 100% conspiracy, want to take this guy out, or has this guy just been raping some women? Who knows?
Well,
I wasn't there.
You know, what you think?
I wasn't there. He didn't drug me, so I don't know.
But that's just like Michael Jackson.
Well, he at least admitted to giving some kids wine. So, you know, and he did make Thriller.
Yeah. Well, they still dancing in Thriller.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. So, where do you think we go from here? Do you think that the Tamir Rice, do you think anything's going to happen with this officer in Cleveland? Because at first they came out and were acting like, nothing was going to happen to this officer, or that he was going to get in trouble and that, you know, the kid was innocent, and now they're kind of backing off of it a little bit. And, of course, at the end of the day, they're going to protect their own.
Yeah, they will protect their own, but I think something has to happen that we'll see a major reaction out of the citizens of this, you know, progressive, powerful, seceding country, which is the United States, you guys. So I don't know. We just waiting on Wednesday to come, man. And I'm hoping that it's not the same effect or the same results that we got out of Ferguson. But I want to point out that we do have a peaceful protesting going on, and that all the lies that you're seeing on these major outlets is not true. You know, I don't think that us looting and rioting and burning down things will solve the problems, you know.
You know what's sad? It's not. It's not going to solve the problems, but sometimes I get to the point I'm just like, all right, fair enough. Now, as far as rioting somebody's business, that's absolutely ridiculous. Like, you're not accomplishing anything. You're setting people back. And that's the best thing you're doing. You know, I mean, it's just no call for that. You know, in my heart of hearts, did I weep over the cop cars that went up in flames? I didn't.
I didn't either.
But, you know, there's a difference between destroying public property that was paid for by the taxpayer.
So that's my argument. So I say, hey, let's be peaceful and right. We hit them where it hurts. We have our own money now.
Right. And it goes back to everything you're doing with Bitcoin.
Yes. We have our own money now. Let's hit them where it hurts.
So tell me how we break away from the Federal Reserve dollar.
Well,
how do we access Bitcoin? What do we do? How is it going to free us from our chains?
Well, I say major adoption. And how I think that could start is like, you know, in small communities. You know, it's like what we're trying to do here in Birmingham and in Crestwood. You know, we want to make that place the first, you know, crypto community where all the merchants are accepting Bitcoin, where you can come and buy milk, bread, meats, beer, gas, pay for your dinner for that night, you know, anything. Get your upholstery, buy things like from the antique dealers. So we're just trying to get more merchants to accept it. I think, and once that happens, more people will go out and get it. And then we're trying to put ATMs where people can go and access, you know, where it's more accessible to the public. Because it's kind of hard, you know, some people, if they don't have a bank account, right?
Right.
Shit, they're not getting online and buying Bitcoins from Coinbase,
right?
But if they have fiat currency, they can go up to these ATMs and put it in.
So do you think this is going to work the same way that media has worked? Like we talked about earlier, is that the CNNs and the Fox News, or even goes back to Walter Cronkite, you know, the media was the narrative of this country, and that's all that anybody had to go on. Since the technology has advanced and we've got live streamers and Facebook and Twitter and the anti-media and all the independent media, all of a sudden we see a different side and we've basically been able to break free. So since we've kind of broken free from the information like stranglehold they had on us, do you think that the technology is going to be able to free us from the stranglehold that the banks have had and the Federal Reserve have had?
Yes, I think so. I think that we still in the beginning days and that everything is still being created and we're building on this new protocol. And I think, like, watching, listening to Joe Rogan and Andreas' episode today is, like, clearing up a lot of things and seeing that this whole movement is, we really moving forward. And basically, we back in 1992 with Bitcoin. You know, that's why I think that some of these like regulations need to like slack up and let us like build and be creative and make things and make it more easier and, you know, user friendly where people can like, you know, because basically like, hey, we still back in IP addresses, right? You know, like, hey, we have Bitcoin addresses, you know, now it's not like www.birmingham.org.
Right.
You know, we have, you know, this address. But I don't know. I think that it's still the beginning.
What do you think is what's keeping it from becoming more mainstream? Do you think the biggest issue is awareness? And it is going to take us going out and going to the retailers and saying, you know what? You may not know about this yet, but you need to know about this because this is the future.
Yeah, I'd tell them just, hey, putting it up against the credit card fees, the credit card companies and the transaction fees that they pay using credit cards, you know? And hell, people placing BTMs all over the country now. And the locations get percentages, you know. I think that we have to start somewhere.
Now here's a question. You may not know the answer. I certainly don't. I wonder what the economies look like in the places that are supporting Bitcoin more than places that, you know, they haven't really caught on yet. I wonder if the economy is doing better in these places.
Well, like in Argentina, I hear that the adoption is like, you know, is increasing down there, you know.
Right.
Due to their economy. Well, we have a few friends down there trying to, like, you know, place these ATMs down there also and take this thing mainstream. And the quicker that we get people to get these Bitcoins more accessible to the public, I think that the quicker that the mainstream adoption will happen.
You know, hopefully it does. We'll see where it goes. I think a big part is just basically getting ourselves off the system in general. You know, the system of the banks, the system of the government, getting away from all of it and start, you know, taking more responsibility in ourselves. And I think that's what Bitcoin allows you to do.
Yeah, well, yeah, be your own bank.
Right. Well, like it used to be, get a shotgun and a mattress and take care of your own. Our Bitcoin ATM does not come with a shotgun or a mattress, unfortunately.
Yes, it don't.
So also in the news, France has voted to recognize a Palestinian state completely on the topic of what we were just talking about. But, France has decided to support and recognize a Palestinian state. I find that interesting because, of course, what do you think Israel's response to that is?
You think they're going to like that?
Oh, no, they're not. And see...
And what is our response to this?
I think it's pretty much the same as it's always been. We're never going to steer that far off from what Israel tells us to say.
Hello, now. Israel.
Right.
Telling us what to do.
Right.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what's really going on?
Well, look.
Now, we was fighting ISIS a year ago.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But now Israel.
But they weren't our enemy a year ago. It became politically advantageous for them to become our enemy now because we needed an excuse to go in and restart the war in Iraq. So all of a sudden, you know, they're beheading people. Meanwhile, in Saudi Arabia, they've already beheaded over 70 people this year. And, you know, oh, but Saudi Arabia, that's where we get our oil. There's Bushes walking hand in hand, you know, like an after-school special with the royalty of Saudi Arabia. But ISIS does it. Nope, we got to attack Syria. Well, what does Syria have to do with anything? Well, just cause. We just have to do that.
Yeah.
Never mind Wesley Clark said 5 years ago that this was the plan 10 years ago. And he kind of came out as a whistleblower. But, yeah, you know.
Well, I guess this week we have been seeing a lot of lies coming through mainstream media.
This week?
This week. Look. And this just ran across me, man. And I was thinking about it. CNN just came out and said that there was a like, the St. Louis Rams apologized for the hands up.
Oh, no, they didn't.
They said they did, now.
Oh, but the media wouldn't lie to you.
Well.
You're telling me that the media would lie?
What you think about that whole ordeal?
What, with the St. Louis Rams?
Yeah. The four players coming out with their hands up. Do you think that...
Okay, my hands are up right now. People on the radio, they can't see this. My hands are up. Do I need to apologize to anybody for it? No, my arms are raised. Get over it. It's a free country. They can do what they want.
Well, the police union, that foundation saying, hey, we need a...
Boo-boo.
They felt that it was... Like,
that's disrespectful. Yes. You know what's disrespectful? A cop shooting at an unarmed kid 12 times and hitting him 6 times. That's disrespectful. Where's Darren Wilson's apology? Where's the police chief of St. Louis's apology? Where's Ferguson's police chief's apology? No. I don't accept that.
Like, so, you think that They shouldn't apologize.
Who, the St. Louis Rams?
Yeah.
No. No. Why should they?
Should they speak out and say anything?
They can do what they want. They're Americans. Just because they've got a job. Well,
they've got a job. Disciplinary actions from the NFL. Do you think that will happen?
I mean, unless the F in NFL stands for fascist, no, I don't.
Well, I hope not, man, because that is so hilarious. You know, like, we need more professionals or, like, role models or so-called in these communities to stand up and take a stand on the things that's going on in our communities. Because, you know, a lot of people that grew up in these inner cities look up to these guys.
Right.
So, with...
And they're quick, and here's the thing, they're quick to jump on somebody when they make a mistake. Michael Vick, oh, they're quick to jump on somebody, but when you've got an actual positive role model, you know, Adrian Peterson, you know, for a long time, he was considered a very upstanding guy. And you know what? His face wasn't on TV every single second, but as soon as there's a story that he spanked his kid, world's going to come to an end.
You have to tell me the biggest headline this week is Michael Brown's stepfather. Are they going to fucking... bring up charges on him, or they're not?
If they bring up charges on that man, I will not be on the radio, or I will be doing it from somewhere in Canada, because that's just, if you don't charge...
They want to charge him for exciting a riot.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just...
But that's riots concern. That happen, or, you know, the damage to the property happening, like, a miles away.
Speaking of damage to the property, and here's something that the mainstream media has not touched on. Okay, first off, let's talk about, we got Anderson Cooper, you know, split screen with Don Lemon, and Anderson Cooper saying, well, they were smoke bombs tonight. Meanwhile, 20 minutes before, Don Lemon had just gotten tear gas on screen, and he starts being like, no, it was tear gas. Okay.
Yes.
So, okay.
I saw that. But it was supposedly smoke, SM. We don't use tear gas. Not just that, the rubber bullets that hit the innocent girl in the face and, like, knocked out, like, her eye or something. Did she lose her, like...
Yeah, she lost an eye. But freedom. Police wouldn't hurt anybody. What? Are you serious?
Hey, welcome to this police state.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Okay, also, welcome to the police state. Did you realize that it is a war crime to tear gas ISIS? That is a war crime. You can't tear gas ISIS. If Hitler was alive today, you couldn't tear gas him. But you can tear gas some people standing in the street in Ferguson. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to America.
But when did it get like this? When did the police state go this far into effect?
So
the 80s and the drug war.
So
it's the drug war.
Me and you have, like, you know, we come policing and, you know, like, hey, I feel that we do need police, okay? And it's a few cops that's out there that's great, upstanding citizens.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of them out there that's fucking dead wrong.
Right.
Okay? So what are we going to do to, like, make this situation better for brown people?
It's not even about that. You know, there was a white kid two days after Michael Brown got shot. Mm-hmm. An unarmed white kid, 2 days later, shot and killed by a police officer. And guess how long it took him to decide to not indict him? 2 days. 2 days to decide this cop was fine. Did he get on mainstream news? Nope. Why? Because he was white. The problem's not skin color. The problem is the police. And what we need to do is hold the bad police accountable. And what's frustrating for me is if I was a police officer, I would be the first person standing on the picket line saying, this has got to stop.
Yes.
Because you're giving all of us a bad name.
I think that you have a few cops out there doing that, but you don't hear it because their jobs are threatened. You know, they have families.
Absolutely. You
know? But goddamn, they sent the military out. They sent the National Guard out.
Yeah.
Right? So
because if things got ugly, they didn't want the blood on their hands.
So are we going to have this now in our country?
Well, it goes back to Kent State, goes back to Birmingham, Selma, Montgomery. The National Guard's been on the ground you know, that's been happened. So that's no new thing. And, you know, I guess just because the Kim Kardashian generation saw it for the first time in their lives don't mean it's the first time it ever happened.
Yeah. And it's really happening now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ferguson needs to be a platform. It needs to be a jumping off point for the rest of America. It needs to go back to Tamir Rice. It needs to go back to Eric Garner. We need to see these cases and realize that this has to stop. And what needs to stop? Look, there's going to be I don't care if you know, everything was great. There's always going to be some bad people doing something. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to always be able to control that. What you can control is when somebody does something wrong, you hold them accountable for what they do. And that, I think, is the biggest issue. It's terrible that Michael Brown got shot and killed. It's terrible that Eric Garner got choked out and killed. It's terrible that Tamir Rice got killed. The problem is, if they come back with the other two cases we don't know about yet, and they just did it with Darren Wilson, they say none of these cops are indicted, that's an issue.
It is an issue.
That's a huge issue.
And I think we will see it. I think that it will be a major impact.
Well, it's already started.
This has, we have never seen 177 protests.
No.
Okay? In one day. All right?
Right.
And mainstream media, how many did they cover? How many cities did they announce?
They had New York. They showed New York.
But they also want to bring up L.A.
Oh, they showed Oakland real fast. You know, they showed Oakland because Oakland, of course, is burning stuff. So they're going to show that.
Yeah.
They're going to show the people doing the stuff they shouldn't be doing, but they're not going to show the thousands upon thousands of people that are protesting and doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They don't want to show you that. They don't want to show you the positive change that can happen in this country. They want to show you some guy that's just smashing windows for no reason and looting a liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
That's the narrative they want you to see. But that's not really what's going on. People are fed up.
Yeah. Do we have any callers calling in?
You know, it might help if I gave out the phone number. Let's see, I'm on. If anybody wants to call in to the radio show this evening, you can call the Anti-Media Radio at area code 718-717-8296. Again, that is 718-717-8296. We are taking any and all callers right now. If you disagree with this, that would be great because I love arguing with people.
Scott, SM is ready to shut them down. Really had something really happen that was moving here with the UAB thing that's going on.
You know, though, and my perspective, that I think ultimately it was a great positive thing seeing all the kids in the streets. What initially really frustrated me about that was when all the Ferguson protests were kicking off. Me and you went around this town looking for a protest, looking for one.
It wasn't one.
No.
Well, someone
there was one news crew standing outside of Kelly Ingham Park, and I went up and talked to the cameraman. I was like, "Where's everybody at?" He just laughed. He says, "No, we're cool here."
Yeah.
Okay. So
you got to now you because look, and you're from Birmingham, so you know what goes on here. They show up 15 minutes.
That's it. You got the old civil rights leaders that don't really do anything. They got a bunch of money. Go get in front of the camera for 15 minutes.
His name is Dr.
And they go
Reverend Woods.
Right.
Reverend Woods. I think they show up for 5 minutes. I'm 15 and just show up
just got to get on TV and go about your business. But you know what? The people that were in the streets of Ferguson and the streets of New York and Seattle and Oakland and San Diego and L.A. and all over the country, you know what? They weren't there to be on TV. They were there because they were mad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Birmingham not protesting, not really protesting, that was very disheartening to me.
It was kind
and
of
then they show up
too.
2 days later. There's people everywhere. We were shutting down a third-rate football program. You know, sorry, but that's what it was.
Yes. You're making a point. We're
in the same state with Alabama.
And Auburn.
Right.
Well, you know how that went.
Well, right. But, you know, we've got these two major football programs, and they're talking about shutting down a minor, very minor football program, and there's people in the streets everywhere.
I'd say about 1,000 people showed up.
Yeah, at least.
Or more.
It was trending worldwide last night.
Well, hey, and a great help to Free Birmingham, man. Those guys made some things happen. You know, like, really, like, set up some trending things. You know, like, the artwork, the media that they put out, and, you know, and the hashtags, and send things up to, like, coordinate at 6 o'clock and making a trend. It was awesome.
But, and I the more I read about the story, the more I learned that it was about corruption and that, you know, they blamed it on money. And like with everything else, university systems work the same way as the government does. They were given $15 million in donations.
Yes.
That the president just said, no, we don't need that.
But you have to think about it. Like, the Board of Trustees are all Alabama, Bamas. You know,
right.
You have, like, Paul Grind Jr.
Right.
Okay, on that board. Okay, so, and you know those guys, you know how they are. They're all corrupt, crooks.
The university system, oh, let's get into this. Let's talk about the university.
The machine.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And you know about that place because you, like, love them.
Right. Well, you know, I went to school there for what little time I was in school.
Yeah.
But, you know, I realized at some point, I was like, why in the world am I paying money to hear some guy's opinion, because this is not really an education. This is just some guy in a suit and a cup of coffee's opinion. And, you know, I figured out, for me, some people, it's great.
Yeah.
And, you know, and those people, I think people that are going to pursue, become doctors and, you know, different professions, I think what they're doing in school is very commendable. For me, you know, it was not.
But we had a movement here that took place, and we couldn't get a single person out on a major global issue.
Right.
Right? Because you see people in Hong Kong fighting against a lot of
people. Absolutely.
You know, they're getting
beaten
by the cops.
There's people in the streets all over the world.
All over the world. So, like, we have forgotten about Brazil.
Yes.
It is a war going on.
Yeah.
Okay?
And we're not too far removed from the Arab Spring, fall, summer, and, you know, winter.
Now it's in our own country.
Right.
There's people protesting right now.
Right.
Okay.
But I don't think that's anything new.
Well, I think that is just, it has caught more people's eye, attention, you know. So, and now, you know, like, you got to say, like, being from Birmingham and living here, people here just are like, if it's not affecting them, it doesn't matter.
Oh, absolutely. That's absolutely.
Because it basically will affect them less.
It will. But I think Birmingham, too. Birmingham turns the other way on corruption. They, you know,
has always been corrupt.
Always been corrupt. And, you know, I think that's something that the rest of the country does not realize about this city, is that, you know, when people look at Birmingham, they think of the civil rights issues. And they, you know, I would assume that the rest of the country thinks, oh, you know, Birmingham's probably just run by a bunch of racist white people. No, it's run by a bunch of crooked black people.
Hold on now, they'll shoot you down.
That's the truth.
Well, hey, I guess that's what those guys are trying to do, and trying to break away from those chains that happened walking down 16th Street in 1992. But I see a new movement here, you know, and I think it can start here. It's happening everywhere else. You know, SMN. Just, you know, I want to take a moment and just really reflect on the things that could happen this week. Because it's some major news that is coming out. You know, we will see, would there be an indictment? You know?
You know, I think all eyes need to pay attention to that. They're saying it could happen tomorrow. We'll see.
Yeah, so, you know, we could be on, like, the tipping edge of some more things that's happening and some more breaking news, and hopefully that more people will get involved and try to move towards this positive, you know.
Absolutely, and it has to stay positive. It has to stay nonviolent.
Yes, peaceful, because I think we get more things accomplished there.
You absolutely do, because look what happens as soon as somebody throws a brick through a window. That's all the media is going to talk about. And another thing that happened with Ferguson that I meant to mention earlier, if you go back and watch the sequence of events that happened in Ferguson with the tear gas and how it actually transpired, is you had a group of people that were in front of the police station, okay? And they start marching down the street. There were no riots at this point. There were not people breaking things. There were people that were very mad, but there were no looting. There were no riots yet. And then you have the police officers tell them they have to stop marching. They weren't breaking any laws. They told them that it had to stop. We've got a caller. Got a caller real quick. Let me take this.
You still there, Jet?
I think we had some technical issues there. Let's see. All right, sorry about that. I think we had some technical issues going on, but we are back now.
Yeah, we had a caller to call in. Let's see, can we get him back on the line?
Being that this is the first show, you know, and the fact that I'm a moron most days.
Hey, are you there, Jet?
I think Jet's gone. But I think what he was talking about was the city and the movement as a whole. If you're still out there, Jay, you can go ahead and call back. But I think the city and the movement as a whole, and really the country as a whole, and the world as a whole, and where things are going.
Okay.
So, do you really believe that there will be people in the streets this week over Eric Garner?
I think that we will see more people on the streets this week over Eric Garner if we don't get an indictment. Because
you think even with the lack of
you think with the lack of media output on this and
the, the media stirred up Ferguson.
Well, they stirred up Ferguson, and now that Ferguson is done, okay, they still there, but now they are not talking about.
See, I disagree. Ferguson's not done.
No, not.
Ferguson's everywhere.
No, Ferguson is everywhere, but I'm saying with the media, like, pin, that's all.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, we was having some technical difficulties, but we trying to, like, take care of all that right now, and we're going to be back online in just a minute if we trying to, like,
we got it. So if anybody, again, wants to call, please absolutely do. You know, again, thank everybody for being patient.
Yes.
It's, you know, the first go-round for us here. But you can call in at 718-717-8296. That is 718-717-8296. I am, again, S.M. Gibson on the Anti-Media Radio.
Yeah, and I'm Dedrick Young on Anti-Media Radio.
This is our first night. We're going to be doing this on Tuesday and Thursdays.
Yeah.
We've got the wonderful Nick Burnaby, the founder of the Anti-Media, and D.B. Schwartz, they have their show on Monday and Wednesday night. We know everybody's out there listening to that. And some really smart guys, and everything Nick's done with the Anti-Media is just fantastic.
It's awesome.
Okay, what did you hear? You heard some, you were listening to something on XM radio or something, you said that the Anti-Media was mentioned about how we were
involved in Monsanto's. And
wait, what now?
The Monsanto's?
I don't know. You were telling me about it.
Yeah, it was something I seen online about. I was like just looking at the Anti-Media group, and then some popped up. I was searching and had Nick name in it. It was like this guy. Oh, well, hey guys, we got a call again. Let's see, can we take this call? Sorry, we keep getting disconnected. We have some technical difficulties over here. We're using a new system that we're trying to just, you know, bear with us, guys.
So what we had, good old Jed, he called back.
Yeah, Jed called back then, man. He had some
great really things. Good points that nobody was able to hear. But basically, what he was getting into were the looting, the riots and the looting, and about how it really doesn't accomplish, you know, the main goal of what people want to accomplish. You know, I think he was saying that as soon as you get people out there, you know, smashing windows, you're doing yourself a disservice. So, do you think, though, there's ever a time that people should just say, okay, forget this, and start smashing windows?
No, I don't think that we ever should get to, you know, that point where we need to go and start smashing windows, really, at this time. Because we see that...
Ironically, though, our country teaches us growing up the heroics of the American Revolution. And, you know, some people got fed up with the tea tax, and it was time to go to war. And those people are heroes, but you see anybody even stand in the street for something now, and you got to tear gas them.
And really, I haven't seen... This is the most I have ever seen on American soil, that innocent protesters, citizens of America, has been, like, tear gassed. But not just that, they are tear gassed and said that, hey, it's not tear gas. It's smoke.
Of course it's not. It's just smoke. That's it.
Yeah, it's just smoke.
It's just like somebody blowing a really big cigarette in your face.
Yeah, it's just smoke.
Right.
But, you know, I think that a lot is going to have to change from that, and we will see in these upcoming weeks.
We will. You know, hopefully everybody out there, I challenge everybody to pay attention to everything that's going on this week with Eric Garner. I challenge everybody to keep up with 12-year-old Tamir Rice in Cleveland. Keep up with that situation. those are the situations that people need to be in the street over. Absolutely. We have to get people out in the street protesting, taking care, and letting their voice be heard. Letting their voice be heard, not letting the sound of a broken window be heard.
Yeah. And just like the guys got out here, the students got out here, the young people all over the country is getting out protesting, standing up for what they believe in, and standing up for what's right. You know, like we've seen that demonstration here that Free Birmingham, Free UAB and Fire Watts, it was trending.
Right.
So I know from just like the young people being involved and us getting all this information out to them, us sharing it and using the internet, that we can like cause a great effect.
But a lot of it goes back movement. to the reaction by the police as to how much attention something's going to get. If you heard about the Ferguson protest in Nashville, the police came out there and gave the protesters hot chocolate. Well, the police gave them hot chocolate.
Did you see the photo that was trending also this week in New York?
I mean, smoke.
I think it was New York where a 12-year-old, like a little kid, ran up to the police. He was crying. He was like, you know, just upset. And he gave the cop a hug. You know, so, you know, it's like, it's two sides to this thing, man. We just, like, hey, only thing, this is what I can say. We have to like get this conversation started.
You're right. And but here's the flip side of that. There was I can't remember the exact details of the situation, but there was about a year ago, there was a police officer who had a pretty nice photo op of giving some boots to a homeless man. And it was just kind of like, oh wow, this is, you know, a good cop story. You know, and this is what the world needs more of. I can't remember the exact details, but I think he just like either beat up or shot a guy in handcuffs or something, mm-hmm. and it's on tape. So, and forgive me for not remembering the exact details, but, you know, it's the same guy that just a year ago we gave shoes to a homeless guy. It all depends, you know, how the stories are told and who's telling the story. Which side of the story do you want to listen to and which side of the story do you want to believe? That's how they... Listen, that's part of the problem with this country today, because they have figured out there is no master of manipulation better than the government and the media, because they play MSNBC and Fox viewers off of each other over and over and over. 1 8 years, oh, well, we're all going to love the Democrats. Next 8 years, oh, we're going to love the Republicans.
Well, Jeb Bush is going to run this year, not this year, but in 2016.
That's what they say. I mean...
You think he has a chance? Also, do you really think that the Republican Party has a chance?
The Republican Party 100% will be... The next president of the United States will have an R next to his name. Now, who it's going to be, I can't tell you, but it will be.
Christie?
It could be Chris Christie. I used to think it was going to be Chris Christie. I don't so much anymore. A lot of these people have kind of been exposed for the buffoons they are, but I think, too, once we get closer into the election cycle and everything starts picking up and the money starts rolling, that's when we're going to see the real narrative on these people.
Hey, what was that guy named that was running? They got him out of there real quick. He was like the pizza CEO, black guy, Herman Cain. Now, he was the biggest
Herman Cain
joke.
Was an idiot. The thing about Herman Cain, if that guy wasn't running to become president, I probably would have liked that guy. But man, he didn't know what he was talking about. I mean, all he did, 999. 999. So Herman Cain, tell us what you think about what's going on over in the Middle East right now. And he literally said something about, well, Uzbekistan, blah, blah, blah. You know, 99 stand or something like that. It's like you're running to become the president of the United States.
Yeah.
And that's your response.
Yeah, I gotta say, sometimes you pull for those guys, and man, it just kills me.
Oh, is this just insane?
Yeah.
But see, I think the big people up this time, we're gonna have Chris Christie. I think we're gonna have Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush. I think those are the big five.
Rubio.
Mm-mm. Rubio, when he first came out.
So, you know, one thing I can say, Scott, me, SM, not to, like, interrupt you, but we will be in a full-fledged war.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But that's the thing. This is the thing people, like, fail to realize is that Obama ran and he's, you know, we're going to get rid of the Patriot Act. He re-signed it. Obama ran. We're going to get out of these wars. He just re-signed an extension for Afghanistan. When he ran in 2012, we're going to be, my plan in 2000, we're going to be out by 2014. Mitt Romney doesn't have that plan. Well, apparently you didn't either.
Guess what? Obama, he didn't sign the labor laws either that he promised, okay?
He didn't do anything.
Still running things, okay? Right. So
that's what I'm saying. What the point is, it doesn't change from one president to the next, Republican or Democrat. It stays the same. Yeah.
So I guess it's going to take, you know, this movement that's happening now, you know, and like our buddy Nick always said, hey, it starts in the smallest places and we just build it, you know?
Absolutely. It starts with one person. It starts to whoever's out there listening at this radio station. It literally starts with you. Be the change that you want to see with the world, if I'm misquoting Gandhi right.
Well, hey, you're right.
Well, you know, it's something like that. But what we have to do, I think, as a community and collective, is reach out to other people. I think people are scared to share their views with other people because they're afraid of being judged. You know, they don't want to say they have this belief or that belief, or I believe in this politician, or I don't believe in any politician, you know, and there's people are scared of being judged. And that's, you know, every person in the country, I think, to some degree has that. But we have to start the dialogue and the communication. We have to start the dialogue and the communication so we can get over those hurdles.
Yeah.
So where do you think, outside of the internet, what do you think somebody can do in their everyday life?
I think that in the everyday life, people got to just start, you know, speaking on the things that they believe in and what they're going to stand for and what they're not. You know, and sharing this information and not just, you know, thinking on it when it affects them, but think about these issues that and these problems that exist that affect other people, right? So I think as a whole that, you know, we can solve this problem by working in groups,
right?
In small communities and building from it and sharing and not accepting the things that we are, you know, subject to accepting now.
So reaching out and finding like-minded people, if it's just one or two.
Yes.
Yeah, you know,
like, hey, you guys, Nick, you, Eric P., you know, all the guys that, you know, that, you know, we share information with and share these ideas that we talk about on solving these issues that are problems now.
Right.
You know, because you got to think about this whole system, and we've been running on it about for what, 50 to 100 years? It's time for a change.
Oh, it's definitely time for a change.
Because that old system is not working.
Got to change the way we eat. We got to change the way we live, and we got to change the way we treat
each
other.
And that's what I'm trying to do.
Because the old way ain't working.
I'm really trying
on us to do it. We got to do it.
Yeah,
survive.
I'm really trying to, like, change the way I eat. I think we, like, me, Nick, and talking to Nick, and talking to you about, like, just, you know, the things that we ain't taking our body, you know, just had a major effect on me. And I want to thank you guys for that. And, you know, hey, I think that everyone should, like, share this information and think. Talk about the poison that this country allows to, like, not even have a choice on, to decide on what we eat or what, you know.
Not even allowed to label.
Yeah, we're not, China, that's what like, just knocked me out the box, you know, like, China has, like, label laws, like, you know, some people in China, like. Okay, well, yeah, guys, sorry about that, but we're going to catch up with you guys again Thursday. I appreciate you guys like being patient. Just thank you. Bye. Bye. Yo.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.